We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one to stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
All right, it is 8 o'clock on your Tuesday morning. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. This text says, NBA does it first, MLB does it last, NFL does it right. Always the pattern it goes. Not necessarily anymore, I don't think. But
I can agree with that a little
bit. That has gone for a long time. Yeah. As far as like rule changes go, for sure. With the NBA doing it first. The NBA seems to be doing it right and first a lot of the times, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. You know, with a lot of these things that happen. All right, let's get to it. Little thing, we will do a little boom or bust. You brought this up. You said, you know what we should do on draft week? Let's take a look back at some of the drafts. And with all of the no doubt, surefire, let's go, you can't miss on these guys in the NFL, you said, let's take a look and a gander at what the last five drafts have been just in the top 10 and see how many surefire picks that we have had, and you could play along with us at 55305. So without further ado, Buck, let's fire up the NFL films and get Cam really stimulated this Tuesday. All right, we're going back 5 years. 2013. Do you want to start there or do you want to start in 2017 and work our way back?
Let's start in 2013.
Okay.
Work forward.
We will go back to the 2013 draft, just going over the top 10.
Top 10 now. Top 10 draft.
I will read you the picks. And let's go. We're not going to spend all day on this. But I want you to tell me whether you would select this guy in that position, boom or bust. All right, is what I want to hear.
I'm going to be curious how many people recognize these names.
Kansas City Chiefs were the number one overall selectors. They picked Eric Fisher, the tackle out of Central Michigan.
Kind of a bust.
What?
All right.
Sell.
You're going kind of a bust?
Not really a true bust, but it's not like an overall number one pick.
Okay.
That's a number one pick now.
Luke Jokel, number two to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Another tackle.
Yeah, bust.
Back-to-back offensive linemen. Those of us who don't remember that, that's not very long ago.
Yeah, that's not.
Whoopsie daisies.
All right, number three was Deion Jordan going to the Miami Dolphins from the Oregon Ducks.
Don't buy.
Another.
It's not getting better. First three picks.
Oh, first three. Okay, number four, Philadelphia Eagles select Lane Johnson out of Oklahoma.
Okay, known for telling that the Patriots don't have fun.
Bye.
And steroids.
At four, though? At four, folks. Good pick, but not at four.
He's the best player we've talked about so far.
He has talked about so far, but he's missed a lot of football because of drugs.
Yeah, but when he's in there, he's really good.
He's good at drugs.
Well, no, he's really good at football when he's in there.
Okay. He's good at drugs, you don't, too.
Okay, so you're going to call him a bust, then?
I didn't say bust. Drugs. I said we're talking about the fourth pick.
Well, okay. Number five to Detroit, Ziggy Ansah from BYU. Mm-hmm. What? Uh-huh isn't an answer.
Uh-huh, it means a buy.
Oh, you're buying him?
Well, he's a Pro Bowler. He has made a Pro Bowl. I'm going to give him something, a little bit of credit there. That's also winning at something.
Cam said yes to something.
I didn't know that I said that. It's just I want to be realistic.
So you have one guy. Well, Lane Johnson's been to a Pro Bowl, too.
Yeah, but Lane Johnson has more problems around him. Right? When you miss games and you're overpaid by missing games, you're not helping your team. You're not going to tell me that a guy's taking roids and be missing seasons and give that as a quality dude.
Number six is the Cleveland Browns selecting Barkavius. We can just say the Browns getting anybody.
Sell.
Yeah.
Not going to go at that one. Arizona Cardinals, Jonathan Cooper, guard out of North Carolina.
Don't know much about it, but a lot of offensive linemen, again, a run on offensive linemen.
That, to me, is pretty interesting. He has not been to a Pro Bowl. I don't even know where he plays anymore, but I'm going to go ahead and say no. Number eight, St. Louis went with Tavon Austin in 2013, wide receiver out of West Virginia.
Boy, he looked really good. Got a lot of money a few years ago from Jeff Fisher, but holy smokes, you're selling that.
He's getting getting paid like one.
He's Percy Harvin. That's who he is. Same player. A lot of money. Uber talent.
Not worth the top 10 pick.
No.
New York Jets went with D. Milner, the who? Corner out of Alabama.
Who?
D. Milner. He's had I guess you could call it up and down.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Tennessee Titans went with Chance Warmack, the guard out of Alabama.
Tons of offensive linemen that 10. Year. Very trendy.
Right now, you look at it, you have two Pro Bowlers in there, top 10, Lane Johnson and Ziggy Ansah.
All right.
You were only buying one player out of the 2013 top 10. I will say I will buy two because I think Lane Johnson is really good, but Ziggy Ansah. So we have two players that I'm buying, one player you're buying from 2013. 2014. This is a little bit better. Number one pick, Houston Texans select Jadeveon Clowney, defensive end.
Cha-ching!
Out of South Carolina.
Bye-bye-bye!
All right. We both are going to select him. I think he's really good. Injury concerns aside. Number two, St. Louis Rams go with Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle out of Auburn. I don't even know if he's still in the league anymore.
I don't think he is in the league anymore. Okay. I don't.
All right.
Tough one coming here.
Number three, Bortles service.
Oh, boy.
Quarterback. Florida.
He finally got a real coach, a real general manager, and a real defense, and he almost made it to the real Super Bowl.
Dude, I'm buying Blake Bortles.
So am I. I'm buying it, too.
Wait. What?
Bingo.
That's disturbing.
Crazy.
It's not crazy. I just laid out to you that a guy that's been above serviceable,
all right,
above it.
All right.
There's a lot worse first-round picks, and oh, by the way, they're coming.
My gosh. Number four, Buffalo Bills select Sammy Watkins.
All right, not bad. Not bad, but really high for a wide receiver, but too high.
I said, you better not.
Too high.
No. Khalil Mack, Oakland Raiders, went fifth overall out of Buffalo.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say he's been a successful player.
Very well.
6'2 stack monster. 6'2 stack monster.
That's right. Number six, the Atlanta Falcons went with Jake Matthews, the tackle out of Texas A&M.
A lot of injuries there.
You know what?
A lot of injuries.
You know what I'm noticing here?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of offensive linemen from the SEC that we're saying, no, thank you.
Well, Jake has had some good things. He's been good. He's just had off and on injuries. Comes from a pedigree of some families that know how to play football. That's for sure.
Four offensive linemen in these two drafts that we're talking about from the SEC, and we're buying.
Hey, O-line are important.
Seven, Tampa Bay Buccaneers take receiver Mike Evans, Texas A&M.
Oh, bye.
I am definitely buying a little bit of him.
Yes, and the foul!
Number eight, Cleveland Browns go with Justin Gilbert, the corner out of Oklahoma State.
Well, it's a Browns draft.
No longer plays. I do not believe he's in the league. Number nine, Minnesota Vikings go with UCLA's Anthony Barr.
Very much so.
Bye. Dude, he's really good.
Yeah, he is.
And then 10th overall, Eric Ebron, the tight end.
Yeah, just got released. Got cut.
North Carolina.
Got cut.
He was really good the first couple of seasons.
Again, another couple injuries does that too. But when you have changeover and the coach, and then you get kind of lost in the shovel.
I look at it and I go.
Top 10 tight end, man. That does not happen very often.
Eric Ebron was a good player.
Crazy athlete.
Do we hold it against him that he got hurt, you know? But yeah, we do, obviously. Yeah,
we have to, because you're investing in a top 10 pick.
All right, so out of that round, we both have five booms and five busts. Every other pick in that first round was a boom. Jadeveon Clowney, number one. Blake Bortles, number three. Khalil Mack, number five. Mike Evans, number seven. And Anthony Barr, number nine. What's funny, and this should be noted here as we go through the rest of these, it took Blake Bortles until this year to finally prove it. So Blake Bortles, this year was the year that we finally say that was a stability. Not idiots.
Stability.
All right, let's go 2015. Okay.
Okay.
Number one overall, Jameis Winston, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So.
Wait.
Sell.
You're a no.
No.
You do not believe in famous Jameis.
I don't. I've seen some things about him that I like his leadership a little bit. I don't know if I can buy into what he is as the quarterback. You know, there's maturity things I need to see more from him. I like his leadership thing. But as a number one overall pick, because I'm going with the second overall pick.
You ever heard of the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah. I have. I have, Bo. I have heard of that.
Well, Jameis Winston has one.
He does have one. He does.
Pro Bowl, too. I'll tend to say that as far as progress goes, I'm going to go ahead and say he's not a bust. I'll buy me some famous Jameis right now.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get over the hump, though, soon.
Yep.
But if I look at where Blake Bortles was... And where Jameis Winston
career arc, ahead. We're going to have a different conversation, I bet, in a few years, potentially.
And that's why I mentioned Blake Bortles. It's hard to judge with these guys from that year on because Bortles popped in that fourth year. All right, Tennessee Titans take Marcus Mariota, number two overall.
Oh, I'm buying. And because I'm buying it is because he's stable. I know he's had his few share of injuries, too. But this is, like I say, Marcus, we're going to have a different conversation. As the stability factor comes in with Mike Vrabel and a new system and the offensive linemen around him. So I like this pick. I'm biased towards Marcus. I really, really like him.
I think that he's gonna pop. Mm-hmm. And he's got what it takes to be a leader in the NFL. And I think that's what a lot of people question, is his ability to lead. I don't think that's in question anymore. You know, I forgot. I didn't mention this yesterday. At Oregon spring game, Marcus Mariota was there. And after the game, he was on the field. He signed probably over 100 autographs for kids.
That's because he's just a goat.
And there are these old guys that were trying to get things signed. And he eventually signed them. But he was like signing the kids' stuff first.
Yep. He gets it. It just goes without saying with him.
That guy is special. All right, third overall Jaguars went Dante Fowler Jr., defensive end.
Remember when he shredded his knee?
In a non-contact OTA. Workout rookie mini camp.
Shredded it.
Yeah.
No shirt, no shoes, no dive.
You don't remember, but you might. Nice. My draft year was 1998 with Andre Wadsworth
out of Florida
State. Did the exact same thing. Number three pick overall.
Oh, really?
Was probably one of the best athletes in the draft. Obliterated his knee. It was never the same.
Okay.
Similar.
Maybe you don't want to be the third overall pick. It's been Deion
from
Jordan.
From Florida, defensive end.
It's been Deion Jordan. Blake
defensive end
Bortles.
From the state of Florida. The third overall pick.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Fourth, the Raiders went with Amari Cooper, wide receiver, Alabama.
He's a good wide receiver. Not a bust because he's made a Pro Bowl. So certainly you're buying that. Not a bust.
I'm buying that. Yeah. I think he's good.
Not at all.
Last year it was, if we can take away Amari Cooper, we can beat Derek Carr. And they did a good job of doing that.
Sure did.
Number five, Brandon Sheriff, the offensive tackle out of Iowa. I honestly don't know who that is.
Yeah,
I have heard he's good.
I don't know either. I'll be honest. I don't follow up on the Redskins and what they're doing with their offensive line.
Brandon Scherf?
Scherf.
Scherf, not Sheriff.
But out of Iowa. Tough kid. All right.
I don't know. Here. I wonder what happens when you Google him.
Well, what do you mean what happens? You get information about him. That's what's going to happen. It's going to tell you.
Oh. I mean, it's not Brandon. Like, you check out what websites come up, and it's not like BrandonSchurfSucks.com.
No.
He's a two-time Pro Bowler the last 2 years. Won the Outland Trophy, was on the all-rookie team. I'll go ahead and I'll say
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I'll go ahead and say you have a successful... drafting that one. Offensive lineman, so hard, man. Leonard Williams goes to New York Jets at number six after that. He had a great rookie campaign.
After that, though.
And after that, though, it's been tough sledding. But hasn't that kind of been the story for his franchise?
It certainly has. And I don't want to say it's his fault. He's already shown that he can play in this league, and so that is a buy.
Okay. Number seven overall, Kevin White, the wide receiver from the Chicago Bears out of West Virginia.
If I can't mention your name. Yeah, if I can't mention your name within the top 20 of wide receivers, then I can't put you as a quality buy in the top 10.
Well, I don't think that he has played
with a quarterback yet.
No, I don't think he's. I'm just going to end it right there. I don't think he's played.
Yeah, the guy's hurt like every season. Yeah.
I think he's torn his ACL twice. And that's not good. Professional career, yeah, he has zero stats. So there's that. Atlanta Falcons went with Vic Beasley, eighth. Yes.
Very good.
Ninth, the New York Giants drafted Eric Flowers, who they even admitted is a bust and are trying to trade.
Major bust. trying to move him as we speak.
They are actually trying to trade him right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 10 overall, Todd Gurley, went to the Rams out of Georgia.
Excellent pick.
So we have five out of this top 10.
Did you realize that's our first real running back that's been picked since 2013 in the top 10?
Top 10? I do realize that.
Yeah, running backs were right that old word of don't pick running backs in the top 10.
Well, guess what? That is about to change on the other side of the break. We are three seasons in. We got to look at 2016, 2017, booms or busts, and we'll discuss how this year isn't the sure deal that everybody thinks it is. 8:14 on the Fan. All righty. What are you making sound effects over there for before?
I like to have fun on our fun show that we funly do. Funnily fun.
What?
Did you read what I text back to that bro?
Oh, wow. Yeah, somebody's really upset that we don't know our Redskins offensive linemen, which I understand. You're Redskins.
But you want me to fake it till you make it, baby?
Yeah.
Fake!
All right, let's get back to it. We're looking at, and we're having this discussion, we're just going through last five drafts, top 10 players selected in each of those drafts. And currently, we have about, of 30 players selected, you have 11 that you think are not busts. I have 12.
Mm-hmm.
Our only difference being I think Lane Johnson is not a bust. And you're saying he is because he hasn't played that much because of his steroid use.
I'm just saying that high maintenance for me does not equate to that's a successful pick. You just can't just say.
He is very good.
Yeah.
He's very good. I'm just going to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pick was a good pick. All right. We are in 2016, though. And 2016 is a beautiful year. And we will go through these picks. Number one, Jared
you
Goff.
Said beautiful year.
Well, I'm going to go through these top five. This may be the most that we have. Jared
Thus
Goff,
far.
Number one to the Rams.
That is 7-9 bull.
It was 11-9 non-BS last year. He looked really good under Sean
McVay. With Jared Goff, he is the ultimate poster boy of tell you when you get a real coach and real people around him.
So you buying him?
Oh, yeah, I'm buying.
Okay. Carson Wentz goes number two to Philly. Joey Bosa goes number three to San Diego.
Give it another bye.
Number four, Ezekiel Elliott to Dallas. Yes.
Here we go, running backs.
Number five, Jalen Ramsey to the Jaguars.
Ding, ding, ding.
Number six, Ronnie Staley, Baltimore Ravens, left tackle, who I do know something about this guy. He was considered one of the best left tackles. He graded out by Pro Football Focus as one of the best left tackles through the first half of the season.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he currently is a starter.
He hurt his knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In like November.
So it's not not a bad,
it's
pick.
It's inconclusive.
It is inconclusive. But if we're grading now, I'm still buying it. I'm okay with that because I can't justify that.
Number seven, DeForest Buckner out of Oregon went to the 49ers.
What do we say about DeForest yet? Again, was in a bad situation. Now he's under stability. I think this can go either way. Depends on if you like him and he fits into your system right now. So they have two really good defensive ends there. He's too good of an athlete not to have picked in the top 10, but we're trying to say boom or bust. It's not a bust yet.
At one time, he was the Pro Football Focus's top graded defensive end in the 3-4.
Not a bust.
And I will say not a bust, but I'm not saying boom yet. Tennessee Titans, Jack Conklin, tackle, Michigan State. Starts. starts. I just don't know.
Well, he starts. He's part of Tennessee's good offensive line that they're starting to build. Yeah.
Not a bust.
Right. Not a bust if you got starters.
So are you buying then DeForest Buckner?
I have to because I haven't seen enough yet. I can't just give somebody a thumbs down grade who's still not been hurt or hasn't had bad years.
Leonard Floyd goes to the Bears, the outside linebacker out of Georgia.
We're both in that. I'm not going to pretend it here. Gosh, I mean, 9th overall pick last year, total career tackles 67. He's got 11 and a half sacks.
In two years,
that's quality numbers. You got to look at numbers and be able to see that.
He's
on a really bad, not just a bad team.
I'm going by because his rookie year he was good. I mean, he was good his rookie season. Last year was just an utter disaster. I'm gonna buy Leonard Floyd. I think there's a lot to see there, and this is what makes it hard, is that we're buying a lot of these guys. But we don't quite know.
And that's as you get further into your drafts, you get closer proximity. You don't have the kind of years to look like we look all the way back to 2013. What did I say the average career in the NFL is? Well,
that's 4 years.
4 years. So that's why 2013, you get a great example.
I do have one bust. It's the 10th overall pick, Eli Apple of the New York Giants.
This is a no-brainer.
They want him out.
Yeah.
Out.
One interception.
Okay.
One.
So nine?
One. Yeah.
2017, last year, Myles Garrett, Cleveland Browns. He's in Cleveland, man.
I know.
See, and this is why.
And he was injured to start.
You know what? We probably shouldn't even do this because if you go down and you look at it, it's inconclusive.
Well, Leonard Fournette is a bye. Certainly. Solomon Thomas is another one that I really like.
Inconclusive. Jamal Adams, 6th to New York.
Christian McCaffrey, still John Ross right now to me is one that is a sell.
He's busted out there.
Yeah, he's busted early. And Patrick Mahomes.
10th is Patrick Mahomes where we haven't even seen him play.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's more of an inconclusive draft, but you're still buying three out of that.
Right. Now, not a lot of rookies in the top 10 get Pro Bowlers. It's so rare. I mean, in fact, look at that. In that 2017 draft, one Pro Bowler. 2017. Well, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore. That's it.
Hard to be a rookie.
Yeah, no, it's very difficult to be a rookie to make
a Marshawn Lattimore wasn't in the top 10?
No, I'm talking out of the draft, the whole first round.
Oh, really?
The whole first round. That's it. 2017.
Wow. And so here's what it looks like. Half of these guys are in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them are guys that you probably wouldn't take. And if you're looking at, if you go 5 years down the road, like in the first couple of years, you're more prone to because, hey, you see the upside, you see the potential. We go back to 2013, you're taking one guy, and that's Ziggy Ansah. I'd take two. In 2014, we'd take half of the guys in that top 10. As we're going on, we're getting more and more because you see that upside. This is what the NFL does to you. It becomes a meat grinder. Yeah. And everybody looks back and says, what a terrible draft, what a terrible draft. Well, that is the reality for most of these teams is that you don't hit because there is so much unknown in the National Football League.
Yeah, just like the 2014 draft was a really good first round draft. Overall in the history of the NFL, your value really comes in the later rounds. That's why those picks like New England where they covet later round picks, other teams don't trade up unless they need a quarterback. You can find so much more value from the second round, probably mid second, all the way through the fifth.
And here's where, we had a texter say, what about, though, that 2013 draft that we go back to and we are going, you'll take Ziggy Ansah, I'll take Lane Johnson and Ziggy Ansah from that top 10. They said, what happened outside of that top 10? And let me tell you, this is just the first round. Sheldon Richardson, 13th overall. Starlu Tulele, 14th overall. 18th was Eric Reed, the safety out of LSU, went to San Francisco. Kyle Long has been to a couple Pro Bowls. Tyler Eifert, the tight end, goes 21st overall. 22nd was Desmond Trufant, the corner, to Atlanta. Xavier Rhodes was the 25th overall pick out of Florida State. DeAndre Hopkins was the 27th overall pick. Cordell Patterson was 29th overall. Travis Frederick, the center, was 31st overall.
Would you call that an underwhelming draft?
I would.
Of stars?
No.
Who's the biggest star in that draft?
The biggest star?
Yeah, who's the guy that's the most memorable out of those 32
picks?
DeAndre
Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Okay, and he plays for Houston, and that's...
I think he's one of the best receivers in the NFL.
I agree.
But then you had, like, Le'Veon Bell went second round.
Yeah, but we're talking that first round value.
Zach Ertz.
Just out of the first round. Yep, 35th.
Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, there's some good guys in there, but if you look at it, though, the first round is a crapshoot. And also something to look at is, guess what good franchises do? They draft well. They find these guys, and they are successful. And a lot of this is tied to how good your quarterback is, because would we believe that, you know, I don't know, guys like Desmond Trufant would be thought of the same way if he didn't have Matt Ryan as his quarterback? If he doesn't have the core around him?
True is pretty good, man. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a great one-on-one defender.
We think he's great. We think he's good, but you're sitting and you're looking at this guy and you're like,
on a relevant team that's been to a Super Bowl, sure, it makes a difference when you make it to the big dance.
Maybe we think about him far differently than we do about some guys that are on some.
Well, that's why I say guys that are in Houston right now, from Jadeveon Clowney, and you just said it. You said Hopkins, and then also you have J.J. Watt. Those are really good players. How many playoff wins do they have? One. That's it. So no matter how many times we look at it, you'll be more memorable if you make it further with your team than you are doing things by your individuals.
That's a good point. One thing that I also learned, don't trust offensive linemen from the SEC, man.
Yeah.
Not a lot of these guys have panned out.
Tell you what, if you want offensive linemen, you go to Iowa, you go to Wisconsin, you go to Nebraska. That's where you find your offensive linemen.
You know what else is one that's pumped out some good ones? Oklahoma, which you wouldn't really think because of their system style, but they pump out some good offensive linemen, man.
Tough kids.
Very tough kids. So basically what we can pick up out of this is half of the guys that will be selected on Thursday are going to be busts, and you're going to say they're terrible. Not you. Well, you will. So will everybody else. It is 8:30. People still fired up about the Portland Trail Blazers. We'll get some of your feedback on that coming up next. But first is Buck with SportsCenter. Yeah, we got good texts on the NFL stuff. You know, we have a lot. Like Joe Thomas, this text kind of brings up the point that I was like, you know, being on a good team, that helps your value so much. Like Joe Thomas was the best tackle in football.
Well, that's why he'll be a surefire Hall of Famer.
But he played in Cleveland, so nobody talked, nobody cared.
Yeah, it's too bad.
And he was an offensive lineman. If he was an offensive lineman, like for the Dallas Cowboys, people would be tight pants and all over this with stains, you know?
Joe Thomas is going to go down, in my opinion. He'll be a Hall of Famer, but I believe that Joe Thomas will probably make a name for himself than he's bigger than he has ever, his career ever did. In broadcasting,
I hope he is the color guy in Monday Night Football.
Hey, even if it's something else, radio, TV, wherever he goes, that guy is he's got the it factor.
Yeah, yes, he does. Want to talk some Blazers? You want to do that? You want to do that?
Why not?
Okay. Oh, also one other football thing: Notre Dame. That is a good offensive line.
Oh yes, most definitely.
Wisconsin, Iowa, Notre Dame, Oklahoma.
Can I just throw out?
Your lips just moved and nothing came out for like 3 seconds.
No, I wanted to state the obvious. I think great offensive linemen are built in the toughest region of our country. Cold. Think about Indiana, South Bend, Indiana, who've played there. I was there, man. Wisconsin, you said it. Look at how these guys are built. It's just regional. I mean, they find ways. They're tough. They just play with their sleeves off. I remember going out in a Green Bay on Monday Night Football, and the offensive lineman and Jerry Fontenot, who played at Texas A&M, but he was from Chicago, he goes, "We're all going out with our sleeves off." I went, "All right, I guess I can do that." 5 minutes into the warm-up, I'm looking around. I'm going, no. Mm. No. There's a different mentality here. I'm looking at it and I think, yeah, I kind of like my sleeves, but offensive linemen are just built that way.
Yeah.
You know, they got a little more layers.
They're like seals. They got a little layer of blubber.
It's not just layers of blubber. They got some more thickness. I've seen some offensive linemen dudes that you'd be like Aaron Baines, you know?
Yeah. Wait, what? Wait, hey-o.
You know, hey, hey-o.
That's a big Twinkie.
We need that clip again. We need to find that, Buck.
Yeah.
Of the announcer for the Celtics.
It's somewhere.
Somewhere. Those of you can appreciate it.
It's somewhere in there. Okay, well, now people are saying, don't forget Stanford. Stanford, they're good, really good college offensive linemen. They're okay in the NFL right now. They're good. I don't know what you want me to. I'm Ricky Bobby in this. My hand's going up. okay, now back to the Blazers. This is kind of bouncing around pretty quickly. If you are, when we were getting this a lot on the text line 55305, we want change. Fans want change. Neil Olsay says he's not going to overreact. It's going to be business as usual. The roster as it's constructed. Well, of course, he kind of has to say that because he's locked into so many deals for so long, right?
Yeah.
Evan Turner, 3 years. Mo Myers, 2 more years.
Had to pay the money.
Damon
That's the
CJ
excuse.
Got a lot of, yeah, got a lot of years. So, I mean, we did have a texture, which I do believe. And I will say this. I do believe that there is some validity to this. We have a text that says, okay, now that we've heard this, what's the solution? People are too emotional, draft better, sign better free agents. All good suggestions, but much of that is luck. The Blazers need a third star. The rest is just opinion and emotion. And that is why I sit there and I go, this is the first time I've ever said you have to entertain the idea of maybe splitting up Damon CJ and you can go and try and find a complimentary piece. They have to be even contracts, right? You have to find a complimentary piece that may be on a rookie deal, or you sit there and you take on a good player and an expiring deal and you package it off with one of the Myers to get yourself some cap relief. One,
yeah,
where if you package CJ with a Dame and, or not a Dame, a Myers or somebody of that like, you get a little bit of relief and you get an expiring deal back and a young player back. I think that is where you may start entertaining that idea, because CJ McCollum is a valuable asset. He's a very good player. Very good.
Yes, agree.
But this is the first year where I go, have we seen this ceiling with Dame and CJ? Did we see it in the regular season? And then what happens in the playoffs?
I don't think it matters what we saw in the regular season. I think it was clear about how to beat the Blazers over and over again once the Pelicans showed you the blueprint. And when a blueprint is laid out in front of you in all sports, you can't avoid it. You know how many teams can just try to triple team, double team, and understand that you're going to stop Damian Lillard and you leave CJ? How many games has CJ been able to elevate and win? When Dame was gone with Baby Dame, they played who? The Memphis Grizzlies. One of the worst teams in the NBA in the regular season. Mm-hmm. CJ had, what, 38? They lost.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's done that before. And last night or on Saturday night, Dame and CJ goes off for 38 again. And they lost. And so I go,
go as Dame does, no doubt about it.
Dame is the leader.
Yeah.
So I go, is CJ somebody that can be a compliment player, or is he somebody that's hindering the Blazers? That's a tough decision. I personally think that when you have 2 6'2" guards that are easy to defend with length and size, like seems like everybody else has in the league. Yeah, I think it is time to break it up.
You know, I'll go back to, there was a run last year where Dame was out. Dame missed a few games.
Yeah, you remember he had his plantar fasciitis.
Right. And CJ went on a tear. And they actually did well in that run, didn't they? During the plantar fascia, where...
you're asking that as a question. I'm using playoff experience is what I'm trying to.
Well, I know, but you mentioned his regular season
this year.
But last year he did carry them, and they actually played really, really well in that stretch without Dame. Which was that the early February, where they won like 4 or 5 without Lillard. But I digress. I think to your larger point, though, he has the ability to do it consistently, I don't know. And so you're looking for a piece that complements what Lillard can do as well. And I think what we see and we hear a lot of is they're too similar, right? I mean, they're two very similar players in the fact that...
Yeah, I think that's clear.
They're average defenders.
I think everybody can see it.
Below average defenders. Dame is better.
Good shooters. Both very good shooters.
Very good perimeter shooters. Mm-hmm. mid range
three-point shooters, mid range.
CJ's very good in the mid range with this step back and his handles. Yeah. But they are guys that command the ball a lot in their hands when they want to get rolling.
And the difference is that, and this stat will come across to some people, is that two guards in the league are not facilitators. They're not guys that are assist guys. Usually, that's usually is your point guard. But does CJ make his team around him? Does he facilitate and make other guys better?
And I think he does. He can.
Could he be the one develop? He creates his own shot very well, but does he help with others creating their shots? Is he a great passer? Does he elevate the team's defense?
This is the risk-reward with it, because CJ will leave here and he'll still be a very good player.
Of course he will.
And he will help somebody. Yeah. Okay, this is pie in the sky. I'm not saying he's leaving or I believe he's... This is the year where you start entertaining it, though. But if that were to happen, he would leave and the Blazer fans would be like, should have never done it. He was just coming into his prime. And Deal says, would anyone trade with the Blazers to make them better? Other teams will let them stay pat and lose. But here's the thing is that CJ McCollum is the most valuable asset you have that fans would be willing to get rid of. Neil O'Shea is not, and it's clear he's not. But he's the most valuable asset. So they wouldn't just be making the Blazers better. Somebody would do that deal thinking he complements what we do very well.
Well, they
would be willing to give up a piece.
I feel this in my heart is that CJ is attached to Neil O'Shea.
Yes, he is. So is Dame.
Yeah.
So is Al-Farouq Aminu, who he brought in L.A. Yes. He brought him, drafted him, and said, I'm not going to let him lose.
Yep.
Brought him back with him. So is Myers Leonard.
So I'll give Neil O'Shea a little bit of credit. He's very loyal. He did not bring LaMarcus Aldridge here.
No.
And he was
And he left.
He did not bring a lot of those players, and all those guys are not his guys. You know, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Okay. That's loyalty. I'll give him that. But sometimes, like what you mentioned in the previous hour, blind loyalty is what Neil O'Shea wants. Well, I think he's giving blind loyalty to some of his roster spots.
No doubt about it.
And that might be a problem.
No doubt about it. This text, I'm fine. To have money tied up in players that are actually going to show up in the damn playoffs, that's the brothers' problem. They're playing all these mediocre players. Yeah, I think it was a voice text. Blazers got changed to brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing all these mediocre players, elite player money, and they don't show up in the playoffs. What am I paying you for? Was that Paul Allen texting? What am I paying you for?
Yeah, what am I paying you for?
unless that's Paul Allen, I don't know if you're okay to say that.
How long has Paul Allen owned this team since
1989. Yeah, 88.
The people here in Portland have seen his personality and what he does.
What personality?
Well, I'm asking. That's what I'm saying.
He's very private.
Yeah, as an owner, does he want to be competitive? Is this okay with him?
No.
In the past, has he seen? He's seen highs and lows in this organization.
And he,
you mentioned how he doesn't want to meddle anymore, and maybe he's learned a little bit of that from not meddling with the Seahawks and letting Pete Carroll and John Schneider have a free run,
do their thing.
I think he still loves basketball more and feels he knows more about basketball, and this is not going to sit well with him.
Yeah,
that would be my gut.
Yeah, he loves the Blazers, man, and it's good to have an owner that cares.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be an interesting offseason. If you're asking me if it happens, I don't think anything happens with this roster. I think they go through the draft process. They continue to draft.
Yeah.
They'll try and keep Nurkic if they can. I think that
Ed Davis will probably
come back too.
Do you agree with – I don't think I believe in that.
Dame and CJ are such good friends. Do you think if CJ were to go, it might affect Dame's long-term loyalty? That text question? No, I don't believe that.
Guys, I don't think Dame and CJ are that close.
Well, they are. I don't think they're as close as they were early in their careers.
Yeah, they're teammates.
No, they were very, very close early in their career. But here's the thing. Damian Lillard would be consulted if anything happens.
Yeah.
Right? And that's going to happen. All right, 55305. That is the fan text line. We'll wrap this show up with some of your feedback on the fan.
I took a look at Baines in the shower. He looks like all of Australia. He is really put together. Look at this.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah.
Well done, Buck.
He is really put together. All right, a couple of house cleaning things to get to.
One of the greatest things ever.
we were talked at the very beginning of the show. If you pee one, rip off the knob, and you listen to us all day, you will have heard our talk about championship rings and where they came from, because mm-hmm. Alabama's are beautiful and brilliant.
I got iced out, they're called, this year.
Ice, 150 diamonds.
That's a lot. That's a lot of bling.
The first ever world championship ring that was ever given out. A ring for a championship is what you wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
1922, the New York Giants gave their players rings for a win over the Yankees.
Of course they did.
Why?
I just feel like the Giants of all teams to be able to do it. They're the blue blood of blue bloods.
Buck, would you like to respond?
I didn't start following the team until they came to San Francisco.
Okay.
But Willie Mays was pretty great.
But Willie Mays was great. Mm-hmm. So 1922 was the first one. You know what they gave out before that?
I don't.
They would give out
pennant,
pocket watches with engravings on the back.
How about flasks?
Tie clips. In 1923, the Yankees gave out pocket watches, and two of their players said they wanted rings. So in 27, Murderers Row, Yankees, they gave out rings for that one. And two players said, I don't want that. Give me a shotgun instead. So they got engraved shotguns.
Wow. I wonder if those are in collector memorabilia world. What are those worth?
Yeah. And in 1932 is when rings officially became a tradition with the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. And every NBA champion has gotten a championship ring, and mm-hmm. every Super Bowl champion has gotten a championship ring. So now you know.
Very cool. No matter what, if you get one in, no matter what ring, if you ever get a championship ring, doesn't matter if it's in high school or your summer group or if you win a championship title, it's something you'll always have. It's pretty cool to have.
Most expensive championship ring of all time, New England Patriots, 2015 Super Bowl rings made by Jostens, $36,500 each. Mm. Robert Kraft paid $31,500 for each of the rings because the NFL gives you $5,000 per ring.
He went above and beyond, didn't he? Above and beyond.
Yeah. All right.
It's a lot of cash.
It is a lot of cash. A lot of cash. Texters that say, where does Blazer CEO President Chris McGowan work into this equation when we're talking about the Blazer stuff? He does business operations.
Yeah, stuff. I don't.
All the basketball stuff is Neil O'Shea. McGowan is more the businessman. So Neil has full control, folks. Full control. All right. Anything you want to leave the people with?
People of the world.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Mm-hmm. Unite. Come together.
Oh.
Enjoy the sun.
Yes. Let's go outside, shall we?
And as is Sprague says, enjoy the Rose City.
Rose City. Whoa,
yeah, that's Nelly. His. It's his
whoa,
tag in.
Nelly. Really? At the end of his show?
No, at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at the beginning.
It's 12 o'clock in the Rose City. Yeah. All right, up next is Herd of the Colin Coward, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Durance Break, 3 to 7. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Tuesday. We will see you tomorrow. Oliver Maroney of Dime Magazine joins us in studio to talk NBA playoffs and where the Blazers go. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.